Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
John Greenberg.
You know what I was thinking about would be? One of my good friends, Dan Bulla, works for Adam Sandler. Wouldn't Adam Sandler do a good Grover?
Yes, he would.
Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, there lived a dreamer whose only wish was to spread joy among his fellow men. But there was one problem.
Okay, cool.
He was different.
Do not congratulate the opponent during a game.
No,
that's
no.
Bull.
He was offensive. He was obnoxious.
Since you're going to the toilet paper capital of the world.
He was disgusting.
I absolutely never Seika. I guess the closest was I Marilyn Chambers when she was in studio over at LS.
You want me to go on?
You know what? KMA.
They tried to shut him up.
Les, what does it have to do with it?
It has everything to do with it. They've had garbage quarterbacks.
Switch him off.
What if Penis and his wife were having trouble conceiving?
Did God he say witness, penis?
And tune him out.
Well, she was just 91, and she weighed about a ton, and the way she looked was way beyond repair.
Don't sing along with the music.
The true story of a man with big dreams.
It's something, it's a newer type of situation.
A very small.
Say what?
That's what you are. You are the Antichrist.
Talk to the hand, because the rest of me can't hear you.
Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
I didn't know I needed that in my life so badly.
He's a thing, isn't he? That Les Grobstein?
He really is. Les Grobstein as Howard Stern in Private Parts, the trailer for the Les Grobstein movie. That works.
That's perfect.
That works very well.
Paul Giamatti can be Mitch Rosen, too. He did such a good job as Kevin Matheny. Pig vomit.
That's perfect. A number of levels. When I think Howard Stern, I think Les Grobstein. Radio legends. One of the same. My goodness. Radio Hall of Fame last night.
Yes.
For your guy, Johnny B.
Johnny B, I heard it went very, very well. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Just would have been a cool thing to attend something like that. When you know somebody and you've worked with somebody, and I don't know how much it means to get into the Radio Hall of Fame, how much it means to him, but I have yet to make a trip to Canton for a Bears enshrinement. In fact, I've never been to Canton, period. I've never been to the College Football Hall of Fame for enshrinement, and I've had several friends who got enshrined. Jimbo Covert, who was with us a couple of weeks ago, was enshrined in the summer of 03, and I had something on the schedule and didn't get there, but kids first, right? So, yeah, that would have been cool.
And then you've never been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I haven't. When Wings get in, I'll be there. They're not getting in, it doesn't appear. But, Les is a local treasure, I guess.
Yes, he is.
Man, is he something.
Not a lot of stations have live and local overnights, man. And sometimes he does those 7-hour shifts. It's
It'll make you crazy, apparently.
Yeah. He is.
Never congratulate an opponent during the game. He was so offended by that.
Yes, he was.
That was the Sunday night game when the Bears played the Texans, and Daniel Manning got a turnover, and Brian Urlacher slapped him some, and in a good way. And Les was appalled.
Die on that hill. Good for you. I disagree with you, obviously, but whatever, man. Like, you still bring that passion at 3:15 in the morning when you've been doing it as long as he has, man. Good for you. I love it.
What spawns a thought like that? What is the psychological genesis of that mindset?
I've seen people.
Are you
die
capable
on...
of assessing this?
No.
I don't think any of us have those kind of skills. There's got to go back to childhood, right?
You think
so? I mean, most things do.
Most things do.
Most of what makes us what we are happened to us before we had pubic hair.
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
When he grew up, what Bears did Les grow up watching? Who would have been like the Bears stars when Les was 10 years old? Like your most
Gail Sayers,
Butkus, he was part of this.
He was like part of the Butkus crowd.
Yeah.
Where it was, you don't help your opponent up, you don't. I don't know. It's everything.
You don't make the playoffs.
You don't make the playoffs. You don't win any games, but the team that you play doesn't win the next week. That's beat the hell out of them.
That's an old Bears mantra, yeah. We only won four times, but of those 10 losses in the 14-game era, 9 of those teams lost the next week, so we beat them up pretty good, apparently.
Bears.
That is awesome.
You knew you played the Bears because you could rest your starters in the fourth quarter.
Since I've been watching football, I remember guys picking up the opponent on occasion.
I've lost the, I don't know if I really had it. I mean, I cried when I was a kid over, you know, when Jordan retired and things like that, for sure. But
when the Braves beat the Cubs in the 98 playoffs?
I was 12.
When Jeff Blauser couldn't get a bunt down? Daddy cried!
I was devastated. I don't remember if I cried on that one, to be honest with you. But I was devastated. I know all about the passion, but now like the things that anger me the most are when it's like abject stupidity. Like the logical breakdowns. Like, last night, while I was really happy because it was Mike McCarthy,
right?
God, it offended my sensibility so much. Like, I've talked about this for years, and I'm not the first person to say it, but I really think that an above-average Madden player, like, honestly, like a video game person, not to mention someone who goes to MIT and knows all of the numbers, like, it is so beyond me that every NFL team and, frankly, college football program doesn't employ someone to be the game theory guy.
They're starting to do that now, though, aren't they?
Yeah, finally. Like, I mean, like, Shep and I were talking about this before the show. Like,
math lives matter.
Math has been a thing for a long time.
Math breaking is news. A very good thing.
Like in basketball, we knew that 3 was more than 2 back in the 90s. But like back then, it was like, ooh, we got Steve Kerr. Yeah. So we got one guy who can shoot a 3. We don't need 5 guys who can shoot 3s. And then like the Spurs in like 2013, they're like, you know, if you pass the ball around a lot and shoot a bunch of 3s, 3 is more than 2. It helps your chances. If you can make more than 33% of your 3s, that's like making 50% of your 2s. And I was like, what?
Really?
Like, we knew that math.
I get the same thing.
We knew that math probably all the way back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. But no one even tried. And it's the same thing in football. 4th and 2, 2 damn yards. You average 4.5 yards a play.
Yeah,
go for it.
In that situation, there wasn't much of a downside. Really, there was, God, I don't get it.
Yeah, of course. It's not sensical.
And I always erred on the side of being conservative, too, but that was an obvious one, except for one guy.
Yeah.
The guy who had the ability to make the decision. And it's a good decision. That gives the Bears a little bit more distance between themselves. It gives the Vikings more distance between themselves and the Packers. So that was a great decision from other teams in the NFC North's perspective.
Yeah, there's the feeling that, you know, obviously this game was for first place regardless of the outcome there, but it feels mm-hmm. like, all right, there's going to be a little separation here, and this is the cream of the crop in this division. And we were just talking about with Seattle and the wild card fight. You win this game and you stay in the driver's seat for the division. And I want to circle back to something we said before 2 o'clock. Because we just both kind of agreed on it and moved on. But I think it deserves a little bit more, like, appreciation. I'll be really surprised if the Bears lay an egg. That's an awesome feeling to have for your NFL team. And there's not a ton of teams that can say that.
That is a daunting defense they're facing. I too, expect them to score at least 17 points. Is that going to be enough if that's all they get and their defense doesn't score points? I don't know.
I'll be surprised if they're held to 17.
I said at least, so yeah. That's giving them some credit. That's not saying they'd suck to get to 17.
I got a lot of faith.
What's the total in the game, by the way?
44?
46?
Thought that's what I remembered, but
you know what that means.
45.
45. Split the difference.
Bears currently say, 3-point favorite.
46 means it's a Bear win. They used to employ the 46 defense, my friend.
It's a sign.
It is a sign, yeah.
45?
Yeah, I don't think they'll get rocked. I wouldn't. That would be a disappointment they couldn't hang around with them.
They're a 3-point favorite. I would say it'd be a disappointment if they get rocked. Yeah,
they're expected to be in it until the last dog is hung.
Yeah, it says on a neutral field, it's coin flip. You put the game in Minnesota.
So if they lose a real close game, but Trubisky shows continuing progress and the defense continues to impress, let's say they lose, for the sake of discussion, 24-21, Dairy Queen or no? Under any circumstances, can we take the boys to Dairy Queen for a dilly bar?
No.
Not at this point, not leading the division, 6-3 in week 11.
No, but
I don't think so either.
But I don't think that there's a difference between taking them to Dairy Queen and then being somehow satisfied with the loss. Like, or enraged with the loss. Like, you lose 24-21 to the Vikings. That's an NFL game.
Right. Don't show up here. I told you so. They ain't beat nobody.
Yeah. No. Okay, you're within the margin of error.
You're right.
There have been some great predictions on the station this week. Great analysis of Bears, Vikings, breaking everything down. What if this crazy outcome happened on Sunday night at Soldier Field?
I see this game 24-20 Bears. Cody Parkey, the game-winning 44-yard field goal on the turf at Soldier Field.
Nice.
What kind of question?
The Bears by 4, but Cody Parkey hits the game-winning field goal.
That's right.
Okay.
That's incredible.
And we struggle with math.
That's incredible. Now, in theory, they could hit the field goal to go up 21-20, and that would be the game winner, and then he tacks on an extra one to go 24-20.
But then it wouldn't. Then you have two game-winning field goals? Hit the game-winning field goal.
Anyone deserves it, it's Cody Parkey.
Hey, Parkey should get 4. Right? A guy that bad, 4 points, Cody Parkey.
Love that Matt Nagy offense. The 4-point field goal.
It's very impressive. How about Wani yesterday? He's not going to miss.
He was like it was a certainty.
but what if he misses? Does he lose his job on Monday? He's not going to miss.
I just think Dave doesn't like talking about kickers. Probably. he won't miss. He'll be fine. Let's talk about something else.
It's also the coach in him, you know, to be optimistic about the home team. And sure.
Obviously, I'll find out, or you guys will find out. What am I saying? I'll find out. But
that was awesome. Go find out what happened to Q.
I'd be curious around the room and from Bears fans if you want to text us. Where's your level of respect for the Minnesota Vikings as a franchise? From what you know
present
about
present day or all time?
All time. I mean, they have not been to a Super Bowl in your lifetime. Where is your level of respect for what the Vikings have accomplished since they were born in 1961? Damn good year to be born, by the way. Thank you very much, 1961ers.
Middle of the pack NFL franchise, not a ton of scandal, you know, the sex boat or whatever.
Love boat.
Love boat.
Oh, actually, Danny.
But, like, not a lot of institutional scandal, I would say.
They have had, there was a terrific book written in the mid-90s by a college friend of mine from Ball State's journalism school, Don Yeager, who has written some amazing sports books called Pros and Cons, and it was police blotters from all over the country from NFL players. And the Minnesota Vikings and the Hennepin County Sheriff's Department were highlighted prominently. And I'm talking some dark stuff, too, like defensive lineman John Randall, who is a scary guy enough just on his intimidating presence, was just a powerful defensive lineman, very Reggie White-ish in his skill level, didn't play quite as long, who emptied his wife's wardrobe out onto the lawn and lit it on fire and danced around it like Warden Norton said he was going to do with Andy Dufresne's library.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay, well.
There's some good stuff in there. So there has been, they've had some lawbreakers. They've had some, a lot of domestic abuse in that era. Drunk driving has been a big part of the Vikings team history.
I honestly meant more, instead of a player who played for the Vikings, in terms of like an ownership type of issue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
well, the only ownership issue I can remember is when they couldn't find the owner and lost a draft pick because of it.
Didn't send in the pick, right? Oh, no. I'm talking about they got delayed on a pick, but that's different.
They lost a pick.
They couldn't find the owner.
I think Red McCombs, I believe, was his name. I think. This was during the Scores' lifetime. They couldn't find him. Time expired. Lose your pick. Next team up. And there's Mike Tice. Not happy about this. What would you say if I told you the Vikings have appeared in more playoff games than the Bears? That the Minnesota Vikings, who won a Super Bowl, last were in a Super Bowl the same month Jimmy Carter was inaugurated as president of this country, have won more playoff games than the Bears. I was staggered by that. The Bears were born in 1920.
Yeah.
It's a charter franchise. And the Vikings have appeared in 49 playoff games. They're 20-29. The Bears have appeared in only 35 playoff games. They're 17-18 in franchise history in playoff games.
So that's not a Super Bowl era stat? Does that factor? I mean, the Bears in 1920, they had all the world championships and stuff.
ProFootballReference.com, brother.
Okay, I just wonder if it goes back to 1960 or if it's going back all the way to the...
All the way.
Okay. That does surprise me for sure. But in the present day, I have a lot of respect for him. I mean... Randy Moss, one of my favorite players ever. Some of the real exciting offenses. They had him teaming up with Chris Carter, the 15-1 season, Dante Culpepper season, get a new stadium now, NFC Championship game last year. So I think of them as an average to maybe even slightly above average NFL franchise, I would say. I certainly don't think of them like Tampa or the Lions or the Bills or a team like that deserves mocking.
Yeah, the Lions who have been around, I think, their first year. And their first year in the NFL, they weren't the Lions. I think they were the Portsmouth Spartans, and I think born in 29. They've only been to 20 playoff games. The Lions have won one playoff game. We talked about this last week with them being the opponent since their 57 championship, 7-13 historically in the playoffs. Not very good for the Lions, but the Vikings have appeared in and have won more playoff games than our Bears. So another reason to stick that blade in Sunday night, even though it's not a playoff game.
God, I hate the Vikings.
I do too.
This hour.
I do too. They scared me as a kid.
The Vikings?
Yeah, they were big and bad and mean. They started going to Super Bowls. Super Bowl IV was their first appearance, and they beat the Chiefs. That's the Super Bowl that prompted the merger. 2 years in a row, the AFL champion, it was the Jets over the Colts, because the Colts then were an NFL team, Jets AFL. Same drill the next year. The spread wasn't as high in Super Bowl IV, but the Vikings were dogs. I'm sorry, we're favorites, and the Chiefs beat them. Then the next year, that's when they said, okay, the AFL has arrived. We are now the National Football League with an AFC and an NFC. And they went to three more Super Bowls and lost those as well.
Mike Zimmer compared Mitch Trubisky to Fran Tarkenton this week.
He did.
When talking about it in terms of old school Vikings and a quarterback running the football. Not the one that I'm going to go to when I ask for player comps earlier in the week.
Not a big fan of the third round pick from the University of Georgia.
I'll respect the history.
Yeah,
but
he's their all-time leading passer still.
Man.
I know.
That's crazy. Kirk Cousins probably not going to topple that one.
Have the Vikings ever had like a run of badness? Like, has they ever been awful in the history of their franchise?
Like, because how long are we talking?
Just
some,
at all.
You mean like 4-12 awful? Yeah.
Like more than a year or two of badness. Like the Bears just went through the John Fox and Mark Trestman eras where it was 4 years of you're the laughing stock of the league. Has that ever been the Vikings?
I don't recall it, Shep, but what I do know about the Vikings is they put bad coaches on the chopping block quickly. They've had several guys take the job and they're not happy with them. Like Les Steckel was a head coach the Vikings, I think, employed for only 2 years.
Now he's working overnights here.
Yes, he is.
Making a movie about him.
They popped him quickly. Brad Childress, who I might have even had a 500 record. His run was only a couple of years in Minnesota as well.
Sort of like the anti-Steelers in that they stand by their coach in every situation ever, and they've had like three or four for the last 40-plus years.
Yeah.
And the Vikings just quickly get rid of them, don't win championships, but are regularly good.
Well, Bud Grant was there for a long time, and he's probably the only one who had that kind of tenure. Dennis Green, probably the second longest tenure. Yeah, he's. I think he's second. Or he might be. He might be right behind Bud Grant in winning percentage. Just a few ticks behind him, I think. But I got all your Viking history nuggets if you want them. I can just scatter them out throughout the course of today's program.
Please.
It's Football Friday, and the Bears are playing the purple.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a Honda CR-V? Search ContinentalHonda.com for the Continental difference. Greg Cosell's gone over the film for Vikings and Bears. He was very excited when we were texting this morning about that. He's coming up at 3 on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40, and John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line. You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
Looking at that play, he should have just held on to a call. He should have. He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Guy brings it for a play-by-play man, Paul Allen and Pete Bursich on Vikings Radio. The loss to the Saints a few years ago, a Favarian wonder.
Such an awesome call. Bottom of the hour on The Score brought to you by the Wolves. Chicago Wolves are home Saturday night against Iowa and Sunday afternoon against Manitoba. Saturday is koozie night, courtesy of Sport Clips, and Sunday kids receive an admission pass to Legoland Discover Center. Visit ChicagoWolves.com.
Seamlessly, he went from doing his job of describing the play to talk show host.
Correct.
Just without even hesitating.
And he's good at both.
Yes, he is.
He's a very talented guy.
Yeah, they've been regulars on the station for quite some time, both Paul and Pete Bursich.
Well, we also had Paul Charchian, who's been a longtime regular on The Score, and he fills in on KFAN and hosts some shows there in Minneapolis. And he's on yesterday, and I ask him if Kirk Cousins is good or a product of the system, and he stops me and he goes, he's great. Did that surprise you at all?
He was a little gushy over Cousins. Well, he's only seen him for a few, 2 months.
And his stats this year have been incredible.
He hasn't turned it over. He hasn't really, 5 interceptions, I think, for Cousins?
Yeah, he's 17 touchdowns, 5 picks.
That's great.
70% something completion percentage, a ton of yards.
That's terrific. He hasn't seen him have the Kirk Cousins games that Redskins fans saw him have. Because while he can be incredibly productive, like your boy Eli Manning, he's streaky.
Don't put Eli on me, Ricky Bobby.
He can go bad in a hurry. Thank you. Talladega Nights, underrated.
Yeah.
He can really have bad games. It's the kind of games that you don't usually see from Tom Brady or from Drew Brees, those 4 and 5 interception games where they can't hit the back of a barn.
He just strikes me as, and I haven't watched every pass, right? But he strikes me as a product of the system. He had Kyle Shanahan for a minute in Washington. He's really good at executing a system.
He's got a big arm.
Yeah, and he's got 2 awesome wide receivers and a couple of good running backs and a good O-line, and he came into a good situation, and I advocated for them to sign him because he was a clear upgrade from Keenum, and it seemed like that was that they're clearly in their Super Bowl window with such a complete roster. So I don't look at it as hating on him. There's nothing wrong with being really good as a system quarterback in an era where the offense is exploding. But great football player? I don't know.
I'm not going down the great path either. $80 million, I think it was, right around
A little more than 80 guaranteed for Kirk Cousins. Fully guaranteed.
I guess they felt and the general manager, Rick Spielman, has got a good reputation. He's made a lot of good decisions there. And I guess you'd have to say, although maybe some Vikings fans would prefer you wait until the postseason to say it was a good decision to not give Case Keenum another go around because he really fit with them well last year and took real good care of the football. He was a $2 million find in the late summer, and he winds up making a run at MVP until we got to December. And then
it still feels like it was a good move, though, right? I mean, he's producing. Their offense is playing at a high level, a lot of it without Dalvin Cook, and he's putting up the numbers that we just talked about.
Yep.
So if that's more of a certainty than Case Keenum, who could turn back into Case Keenum at a moment's notice, it's like, all right, yeah, lock yourself into above-average quarterback play. I was struck by great. with Kirk Cousins.
Too strong for me also.
Yeah. A quarterback who has been great. I don't know if you've been following the story, because we'll get to talk about it a little bit on Monday ahead of Chiefs and Rams. A lot of people calling it a Super Bowl preview. Have you seen the fallout to the catch-up obsession
with Pat Mahomes? I have seen a little bit of it, yeah. I didn't know it could be termed fallout.
Well,
just
no,
continued coverage. Fallout. Like people picking lanes as to whether they defend him or are opposed to him.
Well, it's just like...
I think ketchup gate would be fair.
Yeah, definitely fair. Well, it's like all these companies... You want to talk about Mitch Trubisky and getting respect and like what happens if you're the young hotshot quarterback in the NFL. So it comes out in a profile piece that Pat Mahomes likes ketchup on steak. Heinz Ketchup says, if you set the touchdown record and get 57 touchdowns, and Heinz 57, we'll give you ketchup for life. Well, not to be outdone, Whataburger and their fancy spicy ketchup says, like, no, you got Whataburger for life now, because Mahomes said that was one of his favorite ketchups. And there's no Whataburger in KC.
Mm-hmm.
So Whataburger and Mahomes are going back and forth on social media to try to bring a Whataburger franchise there. And then Westport Flea Market, which is currently the best burger in KC, they're like, screw this national chain.
Uh-huh.
We're giving you Westport Flea Market burgers.
Right.
Life, right. Like, everyone's trying to get a piece of Pat Mahomes and
yeah.
the ketchup.
Well, I got news for Heinz, and you're going to have to do better than ketchup for life. Can you think of some, even a guy who is passionate, if you can be so,
about
condiments? Condiments for life just doesn't exactly ring to be an endorsement that's worth your images.
You need some money with it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you want to give me a you want to put my face on the bottle of Heinz 57 if I throw 57? There's going to be two commas on that number.
Well, yeah, because you're right. It's not. It's got to be two commas, because I think for being on the Madden cover, you get like 250K or 500K, and it's not that much by NFL circles, because all the guys think it's so cool to
sure.
be on the Madden cover. It's a story.
Sure. Ketchup for life. That's an insulting offer.
It really
well,
is.
That's what you offer a high school player who likes ketchup on his steak and is going to lead a team that's never been to a state title to a state title.
Ketchup for life.
Ketchup.
It's a good point.
Can you do better than that?
Do you think he gets that record, by the way? Do you think he breaks 55?
He's at 31
now. 31, and they've played.
I think it's a tough putt to get to 57.
Weather gets cold.
Yeah.
Well, the record's 55, right? Peyton's 55, or is it Brady's 55?
I think it was Peyton's, then Brady's, and Peyton's, was it?
Okay, so Brady has the single-season touchdown record. I'm almost positive the number's 55. But, man, the fact that that's even in play for a kid in Mitch Trubisky's draft class is ridiculous.
I know. It's remarkable, and he is a terrific player, and that should be a game that's fun this weekend. And the line could not have been set more perfectly. The Rams are 3.5-point favorites over the Chiefs. I have no idea what the right move is there.
Well, I'm also more interested in the total, because it was
64.
Yeah, 63.5 up to 64, the highest over-under in NFL history.
And it's hard not to go over.
Yeah, you can't take the under.
I mean, I just watched the Seahawks run up and down the field on the Rams defense last week. And then you see them last night struggle to find...
Right, Rams-Seahawks was what, 36-31?
I think that was what the final was.
So that's 67 points, so that's...
You get the same.
Yeah, you get the same thing? Okay. Texter makes
it... We did some math, how about that?
Yeah, well done. Yes, thank you, Shep. Peyton Manning in 2013, 55, so confirming that. Texter says, hold on a second. Dan McNeil.
Yeah.
It's hard to be passionate about condiments. Aren't you the guy with the mustard belt?
Oh, yes. Did I say that? Yes. The legendary mustard belt.
The legendary mustard belt.
I do like mustards. That's true.
What's your favorite variety?
I just the Golden's Brown, or Gildan's, however it's pronounced. Just spicy brown mustard.
Spicy brown is what you go with.
I hate to, burst the bubble. But the mustard thing is just a bit that has been thrown at me, and I've not.
Theater of the mind.
You're right.
It's a fantasy. Dump it out, Danny.
Let him continue to think he'll be buried in a mustard belt.
Man loves his
What else do you want to ruin this holiday season? Easter Bunny ain't real. Tooth Fairy's not real. Dan McNeil's mustard belt's not real.
Yeah. It's just You don't know.
It's okay. It's okay.
It is okay. No,
not everyone's
listening.
It
is okay.
It's okay. We can, it's a new audience all the time. We won't repeat it.
How many times, though, people have shown up at remote broadcasts?
I could, before this happens, though, I could, this was a seed that was planted a few years ago that I could tell you were irritated by the mustard belt thing.
Really?
Is that true? Is that fair to say?
There was once when I don't know why I was, it's not like it's, you know, there have been a lot of other things said about me that are 100% accurate.
But how did it happen? I thought you claimed it.
I don't even know.
You don't know origin story?
I might have talked about a mustard once with some degree of fondness that, you know, was more
than... Fetishized the mustard.
Warmer than room temperature. And people just... It sort of built a legend, and then cases of mustard started showing up at the station. And
what?
People... Yes, listeners, you know. And then
I think the afternoon show with Dan and Terry had their part. Yes, and every time Mac was mentioned, you know, mustard belt was mentioned along with it.
And I played along
with it.
Would
you say you think? You know.
Yeah, I was in the seat for those shows. So yeah, I know.
Okay, got it.
We did the midday show from the bar, Stadium View, right across from Lambeau Field when the Bears opened the season against the Packers in 09. And in the promo that ran over the weekend for our Monday show, come see us at Stadium View Bar if you're going to Bears-Packers Sunday night, not coming back home until Monday. I'm not leaving until the mustard belt is emptied. I'm going to tailgate in the park. It was part of a promo.
Sure.
You know. But yes, good. Dan and Terry liked working that. And I don't know. A mood one day or something. Let's knock it off with a mustard already. I don't know what. He's right. He has got me.
He remembers
that. Question. Yeah. Speech is like, well, hi.
That's not a bad thing.
Right.
It could be much worse.
It's not like saying you're wearing a Vicodin belt.
Correct.
You know, it's a mustard belt.
Have you guys seen, by the way, this comeback that Ranch is making? That, like, they're selling, like, there's, like, Ranch dressing Christmas ornaments and huge bottles. Have you seen the
Has anyone seen this? No, I haven't.
No. You haven't seen the commercials for this?
No, I have not been looking for gifts to give for the ranch lover in your life.
You've been reading about all that?
Oh, so my wife loves ranch dressing. Hey, what do you make of this? But no, Google it, smart guys over there. There's these, like, industrial strength ranch.
All right, Tanny,
bottles.
What do I put? Ranch making
ranch,
ranch dressing
Christmas
gift.
Parkins
presents.
Made up story about ranch
dressing.
Hidden Valley releases Magnum bottles of ranch dressing.
Thank you.
One day ago.
There's a clothing line. There's all sorts of things with this Hidden Valley. There's some sort of ranch community out there.
Really?
I was trying to contribute to the mustard conversation, and
this is
what I get.
Well,
that's really interesting.
A bunch of blank stares. Bye.
I mean, the fact to say that Ranch is making a comeback, I mean, we all know Ranch never really left, so
it's,
it's just very confusing. As well.
My bad. I didn't mean to mislead you guys. Condiment draft, is that what we're saying?
A1, probably be my first choice. Or Hoffman House shrimp sauce. I don't like the other cocktail sauces for shrimp. Yes, I know.
Might not be a mustard snob, but it better be Hoffman House.
If there's nothing snobbish about it, it's one of the cheaper ones you can grab. It's just that... Not everywhere. There is a Mustard Hall of Fame, by the way, and I have been invited to get a tour.
Dan McNeil is the Dan Pompey of the Mustard Hall of Fame, actually.
Yes.
He's the gatekeeper.
The Mustard Hall of Fame
let's
is
make in, sure we have a table, okay?
Yeah, it's in Wisconsin.
Let everyone into that one, too.
No, it's not
when's
really
Muffet
Mac
McGraw going
that's
in.
Being enshrined in the Mustard Hall of Fame. It's the score. There's a Mustard Hall of Fame in Wisconsin.
And I thought you were going to say that you had been to that, but you hadn't been to Canton.
I've been invited. They send me stuff every now and again. Come on, bring a busload of people up.
Texter writes in, I've never texted the score before, but I am crestfallen, in all capital letters, that Danny Mac has punctured the myth of the mustard belt. You're out here shattering dreams.
Well, I think some people thought it was weird that I used to pre-do bratwurst and Italian sausage for tailgates with listeners at U.S. Cellular Field when that's what they called it. We had annual tailgates there.
Yeah.
Spiegel and I did it a few times also. And rather than cook 200 brats on game day and have that stress with other things to cook, I would make them either morning of or day before. And to keep the bratwurst or Italians in, to keep them moist, I would mustard them. I'd put them in a mustard and onion bath overnight, and people thought that was weird. You'd show up with these
big
tins.
No, they thought
tins.
It was weird that you'd jump in with them in the mustard
bath.
Oh,
that's what it was weird. Yeah, that I gatored in them. Yeah. But they thought, man, you really? You must really like mustard. Well, it helps keep them moist, and most people like mustard on brats. So that's what I bathed them in, to keep them moist, and it became a mustard addiction thing.
A man of many addictions. It was a safe dot to commit. That was a safe dot to connect,
it
right?
It was, yes.
Hey, and by the way, thank you to the ranch texting community that's now weighing in. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So, Colonel Mustard with the cell phone in the first row.
They're saying you were on television, you've got mustard all over your face. Oh, I didn't know that. Now you have it all over your phone.
Could happen to anybody. Segment brought to you by the Timeshare Exit Team. Annual timeshare maintenance fees are hitting the mail just in time for the holidays. If it's time to get out, call Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out legally and forever. Call 844-915-EXIT or timeshareexitteam.com. Felt good to dispel that myth about mustard?
Oh, I don't know. It feels weird to have somebody recognize there was a time when they actually remember me getting upset about something so stupid. That's me. I would like to let our listeners know that Monday we will visit, as we always do after Bears games, with wide receiver Allen Robinson. That happens at 2 o'clock Monday. After our interview with A-Rob, we'll break some news to you on what I've been I've alluded to it a time or two over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We can tell you about it on Monday at around 2:15, the social event of 2019. I'll tell you about it Monday. It is going to be one of the coolest things this radio station has ever done.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see it all come together. And you know, it's not going to upstage this Bears game with the announcement, but that event, in terms of something to look forward to,
I know.
Is going to be. People are going to circle their calendars.
I know. As excited as I have been about talking about it and starting to roll up my sleeves and get involved with the plans for it, because it does involve a lot of legwork to do it the way I want to do it, I almost wish we could hold the announcement until Tuesday. Because Monday is Bears Monday, and you know how I feel about interrupting Bears Monday
for
things that aren't related to the Bears or the NFL. So we'll let you know at 2:15 on Monday, and then we'll probably hammer it some more later next week.
It'll be fantastic.
Short week, though. Thanksgiving next Thursday.
That's true. Yeah. Are you working Black Friday? Everyone's off Black Friday, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
everyone is. Yeah.
Good.
So it's only Detroit.
That's true. It's only Detroit.
No,
we just saw how easy that was going
to
be.
I have decided, though, I will be here for the New Year's Eve show the day after the Bears wrap Week 17 against the Vikings, because we're going to know where their playoff date is.
Yep.
After that game.
That's true.
Now, if we know where they're going the week before and they can't change their playoff fortune, I'll probably take New Year's Eve day off.
Okay.
But if it's undecided, I feel, I don't want to miss two Bears Mondays consecutively because Christmas Eve is the previous Monday.
Yeah. You're a better man than I. I will be in San Diego between Christmas and New Year's, but hopefully we'll be joining up right after New Year's for some Bears playoff football.
Yeah, and as Spiegel always has said, these are his words. Last week of December, he's always happy to come in and Jew it up because a lot of the guys don't want to be here because it's Christmas week.
Yeah. Those are
his words, not mine. I would never say that.
No, it's okay. I've been the pinch-hitting Jew out of the bullpen for my first time hosting in Chicago. I was at the other place for a couple consecutive Christmases, hosting on Christmas Day and all that. Has to happen. But this year, you got a vacation planned.
Sure.
And it is what it is. But
San Diego.
I'm very excited. I've never spent any...
The Germans invented it. Anthony Star of the Sea, if you like seafood, and I think your wife does.
I do as well. I should make a reservation. Surprise her with some proactiveness on my part.
That would be good.
Okay, Anthony Star of the Sea?
Anthony's Star of the Sea. I haven't batted 1,000 there, but I've had 2 or 3 very, very good meals there.
Oh, but you've had some bad ones.
One.
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 Two. Three. Okay. Well, 1 out of 4 is not bad.
No, but the first 2 times it was, you could ask Dave Wanstead. He's eaten there. I saw him there once.
Oh,
I ran into him.
You think he'll remember?
Yes. He won't.
I'm sure one time I saw Dan McNeil in San Diego.
He says to Jan, order me something. He starts doing plays on the cocktail napkin, you know.
It's not a bad way to go. Coming up, Greg Cosell seems very excited for this Bears matchup. Wanted to get into how the Bears offensive line is going to handle the pass rush, how good the run defense for the Bears really is. Kirk Cousins against Vic Fangio's man zone coverage. He was geeking out with me via text earlier today. So we'll get into the nitty-gritty with Greg Cosell next on The Score.